velvet voice of a boss's say. Perhaps they always will be, Riddler, if you wish it. Blessings from all of heaven go with you tonight, sleepless one. Life to you, Tempus, and to all your sacred band, and everlasting glory from all of us who love you. But perhaps it was just the crash and spill of the white caps against the sand. Above Nico's head, against a deep blue sky adorned with stars and moonlight, Tempest could see the darker shapes of Ishard and Randall soaring. On the wing, an honor guard such as he had never imagined. And so he rode on, with Nico and his goddess and the sacred band all about him in perfect formation, past the lighthouse, following the tide with its phosphorescent foam, as moonbeams paved a silver road across the waves, stretching all the way from heaven to the shore. End of chapter 46. Author's Notes and Acknowledgements. All 300 of the Sacred Band of Thebes fought at Chaeronea in August of 338 BCE, and 254 skeletons lie buried there today, under a granite statue of a lion. Some still argue about the fate of the 46 whose skeletons were not recovered. Plutarch says that they died together, and Philip of Macedon wept to see it. Another, later view is that the remainder surrendered, were taken prisoner, or deserted. We tell a different story. In our text, we have taken Plutarch as our primary source on the Sacred Band of Thebes. We have quoted or paraphrased from Plutarch's Lives on Pelopidas, as well as his writings on Epaminondas, Gorgidas, and on the Battle of Chaeronea. We have also briefly paraphrased Plato's Symposia on Governments and Suggestions as to the Formation of Sacred Bands, but followed Plutarch's Life of Pelopidas on the Creation of the Band, and the choice of harmony as their tutelary. We acknowledge but did not quote Pausanias and Diodorus as well as Demosthenes, who fought at Chaeronea as a hoplite and fled. Throughout the Tempest Tales, published initially as a series of short stories, then novels beginning with the short story Vashenka's Minion, Tales from the Vulgar Unicorn, Aspirin, editor, Ace, 1980, and continuing in this novel, we have used the pre-Socratics extensively, quoting or paraphrasing Thales and Heraclitus. We have also drawn upon Hesiod and Homer for all earlier mythology. For example, our Tros horses are descendants of those bred by the founder of Troy, given to him by Poseidon. Some references far predate Homer. The ancient storm god Enlil reaches as far back as the Epic of Gilgamesh. We have used real ancient technology, techniques, and procedures, but intermixed them with the fantastic and the mythical. Thus our repeating crossbow may never have existed as described, but since the discovery of the Antikythera mechanism, it might have. Smaller crossbows and other more advanced military and technological capabilities are continually being unearthed and documented. In the Homeric tradition, our heroes have mythic weaponry and powers. They must contend with gods and fates taking sides, while curses and the supernatural are arrayed against them. In this work, ethos and mythos combine. History, remakes itself and dimensions are crossed. Realities diverge purposely as the gods and fates demand. The ancients understood this. Pausanias says that ghosts were seen fighting on the battlefield at Marathon. Homer used painstakingly correct detail in his battles, yet gods were enemies or allies and occasionally walked the black earth. And his heroes fought monsters and shapeshifters and all manner of more than mortal females. Historians will find many mythologized details of person and place in the world of the Sacred Band. It has been our pleasure to make it so. Most of all, we have used the life, temperament, and writings of Heraclitus not only in this Tempest story, but in all others set in the Riddler's world, as the touchstone for Tempest's nature. Quoting and paraphrasing Heraclitus extensively, often but not always using Kirk's translations as our starting point. Tempest himself says that the god long ago thrust him through a dimensional gate, and this is so. The world of the stepsons exists in an alternate dimension where Tempest's history and Heraclitus's at times may seem to be one and the same. At times they are. Tempest himself is not only the embodiment of Heracliton philosophy, but believes himself to be the author of many Heracliton fragments. He uses them liberally. Tempest is not limited to the pre-Socratics, however. His ontological base extends from the Gilgamesh epic through Thales to modern times. Like the goddess Harmony, he comes and goes as he pleases. Tempest says that someday he may find that dimensional gate through which the god long ago thrust him, back to the time and place where he was born, a world away. Perhaps he will. Like all mythologies, Sanctuary was created by many minds over a long period of time at the instigation and invitation of Robert L. Asprin. Asprin's Hakim and several of Lynn Abbey's characters, as well as Andrew Offutt's name for the local storm god, Vashanka, and C.J. Cherry's necromant, Ishad, appear in this novel. We thank them and all the other writers who contributed texture to the Thieves World Shared Universe series, and Lynn for permission to write this novel. This book is the culmination of our long-held desire to save what could be saved of the Sacred Band of Thebes, and what came of it. When in 1978 we finished I, the Sun, Janet Morris, Dell, 1983, a novel based on the annals of Supaluliumus I, Great King of Hatti, we looked long and hard at writing a second, deeply researched and similarly correct novel of the Sacred Band. Given the inevitable ending of that historical story, even starting with Epaminondas and Pelopidas, we chose not to pursue the project to the band's inevitable doom. When we were asked to contribute a story to Thieves' World, we began the Tempest stories, intending, through the mechanism of the series, to get as many as possible of Heraclitus's cosmic fragments into modern print. But the Sacred Band still whispered to us, and in the second Sanctuary story, A Man and His God, copyright 1981 by Janet Morris in Shadows of Sanctuary, Ace, Robert L. Asprin, editor, Abarsis brought his Sacred Band to Sanctuary, died there in Tempest's arms, and Tempest inherited the mythical band. Then 10 pairs and 30 unpaired fighters. There, for the first time, a Sacred Band appeared in modern fiction with all the complex social issues of their ancient morality and sexuality intact. The kiss between Tempest and Abarsis was a signal event in fiction of this type in those days. The band wanted to call themselves Stepsons after Abarsis, their slain leader, and we were off to many adventures with what eventually became the Sacred Band of Stepsons. But even the creation of our own band did not quell our desire to save what could be saved of the Sacred Band of Thebes. In 2009, we finally gave in and undertook the rescue of the 23 pairs of Theban sacred banders not buried at Chaeronea. We knew it would be difficult, but additional joys were in store if we could persevere. The future of our own mythical band needed to be ensured.